Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Amen. Please take the Word of God and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Children's ministry, you are dismissed since you're leaving me anyway. And by the way, we are so blessed to have our children's ministry with us here today. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, whether in printed or digital form, please raise it above your head. Amen. Now, happy Father's Day first off. We are at Romans chapter 10. I wanted to show you my Father's Day gift. It's my old street preaching Bible that I had rebound. My wife got it rebound for me. It's a Cantera goatskin. And that was for Father's Day. And I just want you to know, hey, dads, for you guys today, we don't have that. We got some gift cards for you for coffee. But make sure you pick up your coffee gift cards on the way out. Before I forget right now, Brother Jim, I said it before, he is a little bit of a Dunkin' Donut snob, so I've got your card right here, brother. All right. If he were to get back there and there only be a Starbucks, we would have issues. Word of God, Romans chapter 10. I have returned from the pastor's conference. I would like for you to know that I've returned refreshed, renewed. At the pastor's conference in the Southern Baptist Convention with myself and Miss Ruth Ann, Pastor Carol, Miss Fanny, we had the best time. It's where we come together and you get preachers preaching to 10,000 preachers. You know, in the front 10 rows of that area that holds 10,000 preachers and their wives, the first 10 rows is always rowdy and praising and worshiping and hallelujahing and amening. And I'm not going to stop because that's right where I was on the third row. And I want you guys to know that when you get a bunch of preachers together, they know how to praise God. They just let the hair down, so to speak, those of us that still have some, and just let it go. Today's message is all about salvation. The title of the message is called, What About Salvation? Reading from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, the first 13 verses. If you are there, please say amen.
Amen.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend from the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of the faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Aren't those wonderful words? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, all together, church, will will be saved. And all of God's people say amen. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. Let my words speak only truth without the slightest bit of error in Jesus' name. I greet you today in the name of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is one of my what about messages. I've had sermons on what about baptism, what about tithing. This is what about salvation. For a person to get to heaven, they must be saved. Because we are all sinners, amen? If you didn't say that, you're really a sinner. If you didn't say amen, you're really a sinner. You may say, preacher, I'm not that bad. I know that everyone sins, but you can ask people that know me, I'm a good person. I'm basically a good person. Listen, friends, the severity of our sin is not determined by how bad we think that sin is. The severity of our sin is determined by the holiness and the majesty of the God that we have sinned against. Amen? And since our God is infinitely holy, our sin is infinitely offensive to Him. Think about this. All of the acts of terrorism, all of the murders, all of the lies, all of the cheating, all of the stealing, all of the committing of adultery, all of those that live in rebellion to a holy God, all of those that tell little white lies, all of those that steal a cookie, every single sin that has ever taken place happened because somebody took a bite of fruit they weren't supposed to take. And sinned against what God has said. And since our God is infinitely holy, to sin against Him is infinitely offensive. Our sin can be reconciled. So today I say, come and be saved. Come unto the Lord, whether you are here in this sanctuary or listening on the internet. We are not going to try to surprise you or fool you or trick you with any kind of wordplay today. We are here for one reason and one reason only, that those that come shall know the name of the Lord as their Savior and be saved by Jesus Christ. That those that may have drifted away from Him for a while will recommit their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us has those times in our life when we drift away from the Lord. Amen? You know, and what we need is a Savior. What is the greatest need that man has? Is it education? Is it economic means? Is it social things? I say without equivocation that man's greatest need is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came as a Savior. He did not come primarily as a healer. He did not come primarily as a social worker. He did not come as a financial or social advisor. He came to answer our greatest need. Friends, Jesus Christ came as a Savior. And we know that because we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that Jesus says, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? All of creation was lost at the Garden of Eden. At the Garden of Eden, the title deed to earth and men's souls passed from God to Satan. And Jesus Christ has come to declare His majesty. He's come to seek and save those that are lost. And He has chosen, believe it or not, church, us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as long as I am the pastor of Living Hope Church, the gospel message will be preached every week. It will be preached at every level. From the infant care to the children to the middle school to the young people into the big church sanctuary, we are here to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Based upon the Word of God in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go therefore and baptize all the nations of the world in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We exist solely to glorify God and to share the gospel message. The good news. The good news that we have a Savior. Believe it or not, there are Christians that do not like an evangelical church. Sometimes churches get into the habit of us four and no more. They get in the habit, we have this nice little comfortable family. I'm comfortable here. Why do I have to do all that? Don't we pay the pastor to go say all that stuff? Well, the pastor is paid to preach that stuff. He's paid by his reward in heaven, not by any, as the word says, filthy lucre. We are not hirelings to a church. We come to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every single Christian here is called to the same thing, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are some churches that don't even want an invitation in it. Or they get upset if the invitation goes on too long. Heaven forbid that the pastor sees something working in someone's heart, because we can see that right from the pulpit, and they extend the invitation so that person can listen to the Holy Spirit, gather the courage in their heart to come forward at the invitation. You know, most people say, well, I got places to go. Lunch is cooking. If I get there too late, the food will be all gone, or the food won't be that good. Some folks believe that the invitation is just a bother. Well, it's not a bother to me, because it's not a bother to God. Amen? We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But in many churches, we see corrupted salt and we see concealed light. There are preachers that preach nonsense. There are preachers that preach that if you only get saved, that you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You will be prosperous. You can name it and you can claim it, and nothing will ever happen to you. The Bible never promises that. That is corrupted salt. And that therefore, the believers that grab a hold of that and go out and share a false gospel. I'll be talking about the false gospel next week. Don't miss that message. I'm going to have everybody around that's listening in mad at me. Don't care. Then there have Christians that are secret agent Christians, afraid to share their faith. I want you to understand that we are going to continue being a gospel-sharing church, and we're going to get folks trained up in how to share the gospel. In the fall, we're going to have a series called, Can We Talk? Can We Talk? Listen to me, Christians. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is not something that you do. It is something that you are. You are the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Your day is set in stone when you open your eyes in the morning. You are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else in your life should work in around that. Be aware, be open for those chances to share the message of Jesus Christ as Savior. I believe we need to keep things in balance, and I believe that we should preach in a way that grows the saints and wins souls to Christ. Amen? Some people like a nice even message. Now, generally, I am that way. But I believe that when I preach the light, there should be some heat in it once in a while. Amen? And so today, if you have your notes in front of you, please pull them out. We'll have 6 points today, but we will move quickly through these 6 points about what? About salvation. First, we see the condition of salvation. Looking at the first four verses, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. If you ask the average person on the street, how does a person get to heaven? How can I get to heaven? Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to believe in heaven. As a matter of fact, everybody believes in heaven. They have a problem believing in hell. We're going to do a What About Hell message in a few weeks as well. Most people, though, when you ask them, how does a person get to heaven, most of them would answer with some kind of deed that has to be done. In other words, what man must do in order to be saved. Maybe they say something like, well, keep the Ten Commandments, obey the Golden Rule. You know, Jesus, generally, people have a standard of morality. It's coincidentally their standard of morality, if you ask them. The things that they think are okay. They have a standard of what they believe are the good works that are required for them to get to heaven. They put things first, and they put God second. And then they wonder why things aren't working out in their lives. God is to be first in your life. There is to be no question of that. My wife knows, I know, that for my wife and myself, God is first in our lives. I'm second. I think that's pretty good standing. I'm right after God for my wife. My wife, Miss Ruth Ann, is in Louisiana right now. Her and my daughter, that's right, Miss Ruth Ann and Angela are on the loose in South Louisiana right now. Pray for a harvest over there. Because that is pure salt and bright light that they have turned loose down in Louisiana. In Paul's day, the Pharisees thought that they could be saved by keeping the commandments, keeping the laws of Moses. They were religious. Listen closely here. They were religious, but they were lost. They had lost the centrality of the message of God. You see, the hardest person to get saved is not the thief. It's not the drunkard. It's not the drug addict. The hardest person to get saved is for those that are caught up in their religion. I've been this all my life. I grew up in a Baptist church. That is no guarantee of salvation, friends. That is no guarantee of getting to heaven. In verses 2 and 3, Paul saw that all of his religious background, all of his knowledge, all of his good works were actually liabilities because he had never met Christ until the Damascus Road. He had never met Christ. He didn't believe that the Messiah had come. You see, knowledge and works alone are not or will not open the gates of heaven. Let me explain why that is. Suppose you're traveling on a highway, a superhighway. It's clean, it's fast, it's wonderful, it's safe. No traffic, no guy cutting you off. But you're going the wrong way. You are now experiencing Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. If you look up on the screen, it says, there is a way that seems right. I see we got right five to a man. Just let's say multiply that right five times. You know, Pastor Larry typed that up there himself. I told Miss Margaret, no, I got this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It is not our ways, it is God's way. But listen to the way of salvation in verse 4 here. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now there's nothing wrong with the law. But the law has one primary job in Galatians 3 verse 24. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. What is the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is to serve as an instructor to us to bring us to Christ. You only have to look at the Ten Commandments briefly to know that we have broken every single commandment. Amen? Does anybody here, keep your hands down, I don't want to embarrass anybody, that believes they have not broken every single one of the Ten Commandments? Great. You guys know, you guys got it now. See, sometimes people say, well, I've never murdered anybody, Pastor Larry. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you have anger in your heart against your brother or sister, you have committed murder. And God looks at what? God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outside. The Ten Commandments were given to show to us that we cannot keep God's law apart from Christ. How so? I'm so glad you asked. The law says, do this and live. The gospel says, live for Christ and then do. We're to live for Jesus Christ and do good works. The law says, pay me what you owe me. The gospel says, I freely give you the gift of salvation. The law says, the wages of sin is death. The gospel says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The law demands holiness. The gospel provides holiness. We are imputed with the righteousness and holiness of Christ Himself in the eyes of God the Father. The law says do. The gospel says done. Done for you. Friends, salvation is not a reward for the righteous. Salvation is a gift for the guilty. And the only condition for salvation is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So first we saw the condition of salvation. Now we see the confession of salvation. Verses 5 through 7. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. These verses clearly tell us that salvation is available to every single person wherever they are. I would love to go to the Holy Land someday. And one day I will go to heaven. But I didn't need to go to either one to be saved. All I needed to do was accept Jesus Christ as Lord. See, God sent Jesus to earth for me. And if you were the only person on earth that had ever sinned, God would have sent Jesus anyway just for you. While this is a corporate global salvation that is provided for those that accept Jesus Christ, it is personal at the same time because each person must receive Christ individually. Christ came, He lived, He died for sinners. He died for me. When I think of my Savior stretched out upon the cross, the nails through His wrists and His feet, the crown upon His head, the lashes upon His back, and the list for the Book of Life had Larry on there because it was my sin that placed Christ there. It drives me to my knee in gratefulness. It drives me to my knees in thankfulness. What are these verses really saying? If you're sitting here in the sanctuary, if you're watching on the internet, if you're listening or watching a DVD later, this is saying you don't need to go anywhere. Because Christ has already come down from heaven and He's already been raised from the dead. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and let me share with you just how close He is for you today. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, He's right here. He is so close you cannot possibly imagine. How close you say? Look at verse 8. This is so magnificent of a verse. And so seldom read in churches. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. How did the Word get into your mouth if you're watching here or on the internet? How did the Word of God get into your heart? You ready? It's the word of faith which all Christians preach when we share the gospel. When you hear the gospel, unsaved people, the word of God is in your heart. The word of God is in your mouth. You hear those words, you can pronounce them. You can enunciate them. It's not something that we're trying to hide. God made it simple. I need that. I'm a simple guy. Miss Ruth Ann keeps things simple around the house for me. Now, I am an expositor of the Word of God. I delve into the richnesses and the depths of God's Word. I'm bivocational, so I write software during the day, and I can write all kinds of software. But if I go into the pantry, and Miss Ruth Ann has moved the cream of mushroom soup from the second row to the third, there is no way in God's heaven I will ever find that. I'll have to call her up. I'll have to text her. I texted her last night. Where's the cream of mushroom soup? This wasn't just a wordplay I just did. She said, lift up thine eyes. One more row, and you shall see it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, Paul is saying that what we're doing right now is putting that gospel word near your heart. We're putting that gospel word in your mouth. Now, you're not saved yet. You've heard it. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You've heard it. But Paul is saying that the faith that I preach is all that you need for right now. It's all you need. You have heard the gospel message. What is the gospel message? The gospel message, the good news, is that God in His righteousness must judge sin. We are infinitely sinful. Therefore, God the Father sent God the Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. Being buried in the grave, He rose up having conquered death. And if we believe in our mouth, as we'll see here in a moment, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. That is the good news. You see, it's already here. That's just how close you are to salvation if you're sitting here in the sanctuary. Listening on the internet, that's just how close you are to being saved. You know, I prayed all week and I've been prayed up by the prayer team this morning before the service began. Pastor Carol and I met and we prayed for the service this day. I asked for an anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit enter into this sanctuary, that He enter into my heart, that I speak with truth and power. Now, I have spoken what God has written. That word is in your heart. That word is in your mouth. And ready? You ready for this? It's just waiting for you. It's sitting there. The word has been spoken. It's waiting for you. Just look at the next two verses, verses 9 and 10. If you've been in a Baptist church, you've heard these verses every Sunday of your life. But we're going to read them again. And all God's people said, Amen. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the gospel message. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must believe in your heart. You must confess with your mouth. You must repent of your sins and turn away from them and live for the Lord to the best of your ability. Do we sin? Hallelujah, do we sin? That's why we need a Savior. See, that's why each and every week we have an invitation. I don't know who's saved. That's not my call. That's why we have an invitation. That's why I tell you to repeat in your heart the sinner's prayer. Every single service. We don't know that while we may have all believers here, that 5,000 have been saved in southern India. How do I know that they may be saved in southern India? Because our messages get watched in southern India. Our messages get watched in the Mauritian Islands out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. People are starved for the gospel message. People are starved for the Word of God. They will go anywhere to find hope. And the hope is found in our Lord. Amen? So, you are saved when you've met the conditions of salvation. We saw the conditions, then we saw the confession. Now, we see the commitment of salvation. The commitment of salvation. Look at verse 9 again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Friends, salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift. But you must receive who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord. Far too many people want to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but they do not want Him to be the Lord of their life. They want to live to their own ways. Listen, salvation is not like a cafeteria line. You can't say, I believe I'll have a little Saviorhood today, but I'll skip the Lordship, thank you very much. And I'll show up for the Lord's Supper over here once in a while. Guys, He is no second-class Savior. He is Lord. Amen? So first we saw the condition, then the confession, then the commitment. Now we have the confidence. Now we have the confidence of salvation. In verse 9, why do you suppose it is that Paul didn't say, if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe in His deity, if you believe in His teaching, if you believe in His miracles, you will be saved. Why do you suppose Paul did not say that? I'll tell you why. It's because belief in the resurrection of Christ includes all of those other things. If you can believe that God raised Him from the dead, then you obviously can accept all of the other things that I just said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Raising from the dead is the most important thing. See, if you believe in His resurrection, Then you believe in his resurrection. Then you believe in his incarnation. He had to be a man in order to live and to die. Amen? And he had to die in order to be resurrected. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 talks about each and every person that before they are saved says that we were dead in our trespasses against God. Dead. Not a little dead. Not kind of dead. Dead. Now, let me show you the tricky part here. We were as dead in our trespasses to sin as the people in a graveyard. That's how dead we were. I could take and prepare the best gospel message ever heard and go to a graveyard and give that gospel message to the graveyard and say, arise unto the Lord. How many people are going to rise to the Lord? None. Apart from the movement of God. That's why when I preach in here, or any preacher preaches, we realize it's not us. It is God. Because when you're preaching to the lost, you are preaching to those that are dead in Christ. And only the hand of God can change that. It doesn't matter if it's adults that have been unsaved all their life, or little kids. I know those little children don't sin to my teachers that are sitting right here on the front two rows. They got that look on their face. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Listen, while I'm at it, don't worry about how God will raise you from the dead either. Well, Pastor, what about the people that fall into the sea and they get eaten by the sharks? What about the people that are cremated? How about those people that have been buried without any kind of casket and they go into dust and then you can't find anything of them? Relax. He is the Lord thy God and there is none other like Him. If our great God can create the entire universe and creation out of nothing and do it without the slightest loss of Himself at all, He can raise you from the dead. Amen. Do you believe that, church?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Be confident in your salvation. Fifth, we see the courage of salvation. The courage of salvation. Looking in verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. When I finish this message in just a couple of minutes, there will be an invitation. Just like every week, just like every week going forward. I've been asked, Pastor, why do we do that week after week? You see, in verse 11 it says, will not be shamed, will not be ashamed. Did you know that that word that's there, ashamed, also can be translated as ashamed? It literally means to be in a hurry to get away. To be in a hurry to get away. Like some folks are during the invitation. In a hurry to get away. Here's an example of what I mean. Have you ever been in a group of people having a wonderful conversation? It could be people at work or people, your neighbors or whatever. Having a great gathering, great conversation, wonderful time. And then you bring up Jesus and invite him to church. You ever notice how some of those people seem to want to get away as fast as possible? Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be sheepish about our Lord Jesus Christ. The only hurry you should ever be in is to get as close to Him as possibly as close to Him as you possibly can. When I have an invitation here in a few moments, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life and you want to do that today, don't you be ashamed to walk down front and put your hand in mine. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, we come to the consequences of salvation. Verses 12 and 13. The consequences of salvation, our final point. If it's not on the screen, then just write that down. Consequences of salvation. Since I did the risen five up there, I'm not going to tell you how to spell it. Verses 12 and 13, if you're there, say amen. That Pastor Larry, he's one of a kind, isn't he? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to focus on that phrase, the Lord over all is rich to those that call upon Him. This literally means the most amazing thing. You ready for this, folks? This means that His boundless resources are available to all that call upon the Lord. God's boundless resources are available to all. Our Savior is a boundless resource. Listen, I've been saved for 47 years now. And while I have failed my Lord many times, my Lord Jesus has never, ever once failed me. Whatever the question is, Jesus Christ is the answer. Whatever the need is, He has the resources. Now I'm going to speak now to the unsaved as well as the saved, those in the sanctuary or those on the internet. To the saved first. You may need to renew your mind. You may need to renew your passion in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may need to remember your calling and your first love. It's time to remember why we serve. It's time to remember that we serve the one true, incredible, omniscient, omnipresent, magnificent, all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-holy God of the universe. And it is His voice we answer to, and only His voice. Because He loves us, we can love. Because He sacrificed for us, we can sacrifice for others. Because He came to us, we can go to the world, beginning right here in our community, and to declare the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He never tires. His resources are never deleted. His love is unfailing. And He is uniformly and completely faithful. God is faithful. God is able to do all things in your life. His grace is sufficient for whatever your needs are. His forgiveness is endless. His mercies are new every day. And the power of His gospel message has been given to you as a messenger of Christ. You are sent as a soldier into alien lands to declare that the victory belongs to Jesus. Remember, what if we remember that the victory is already won? What if we traded complacency for compassion? What if we traded the pursuit of worldly relevance for the pursuit of righteousness for His name's sake? Christians, every day of our lives, what if we ran towards the lost rather than running to our homes just to be left alone? What if we were bold and courageous? What if we remembered that this church, Living Hope Baptist Church at 11050 Wiles Road, is God's plan A for salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ to be declared in Coral Springs, Florida? What if we remembered that God will not let us fail? We are only called to declare the gospel. We can't save anyone. We are going out there and declaring to the graveyard of the dead that there is salvation in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. What if we remembered that? You know, I've now stood here. You've been so patient for the better part of 45 minutes. For those that have not accepted Jesus Christ, I've preached the Word into your mouth. I've preached the Word into your heart. All that is required is your response to believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, meaning that He's the Lord of your life. The Lord of your life. Friends, saved, newly saved or not, when the invitation comes in a moment, don't be ashamed to come forward. You may be coming for salvation. Why Jesus? Why is it it must be Jesus? Because God said so in His Word. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." You must come through Jesus Christ. You must believe in your heart. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you may be coming for salvation. That's okay. That's a wonderful thing. Don't be ashamed to walk forward. If you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, the work has already been done. A great shout has already gone up in heaven. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels have declared your name in glory in the throne of God, in the throne room of God God Himself. Now you may be coming to renew your commitment to God. You may be coming to renew your commitment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we walk out today, you will see that there's a sign that says, you are now entering your mission field. When you walk out here, remember that the gospel is what you are. It's not what you do. Look for those opportunities to be Jesus to someone. Look for those opportunities to be gracious to the waitress that waits on your lunch. If the food is bad, tip her anyway. She didn't cook it. She just brought it. Amen? And sometimes people hold those people responsible. But be gracious. You may be coming simply to stand and worship and declare God's glory to the nations. But please, whatever, whether you're coming for first-time salvation or you're just coming because you love God and you want to worship at His altar for a moment and just sing praises to His name, come, unashamed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are worthy.